Okay, so last week we didn't end up pressing record on the MP3 because we didn't end up teaching halachas. We ended up discussing other important matters. So where we left off 2 weeks ago, we were in the middle of discussing the halachos of when we wake up in the morning. So just a few halachos I just wanted to finish up that were important as far as the routine in the morning. We said when a person wakes up, first thing in the morning, so they say, Moda ani lefanecha, melech chayvikayam, shechazarta binishmasi, bechamla, rabba munasacha. So that is, as we said, that's thanking Hashem for returning our soul back inside of us. One halacha that we didn't say, which is important, not just by Moda ani, but it's important in many, many times throughout the day by davening and by brachos, is that you'll notice there are many times where two words, you'll have two words in a row, by a bracha, or by davening, or by a tefillah, something like that, that you have two words in a row where the last letter in the first word is the same as the first letter of the second word. In Kriyat Shema, you have that a lot of times, like al levavecha and al levavchem, vavadtem mehera. So you have many times where if you say it very fast, which unfortunately we all do a lot of times, you know, when we say a bracha, we say a davening, we say it very fast, so it could sound as if it's all one word. So the Gemara tells us that by Kriya Shema, it's important to separate those words. And when a person says al levavecha, you'll notice in most sidurim, there's even like a line in between the two lamids to make sure that you don't slur the words together. But the Shulchan Aruch says that this is true not just by Kriya Shema, which is obligated mid-a-iraisa, at least for men, but not only by Krishma, but also by other tfilos and by other brachos. You'll notice sometimes if you have a man making hamotzi, you don't necessarily listen to other people saying bracha so often, but hamotzi is definitely a bracha that you hear men make many times, Friday night and Shabbos day, whether it's your husband or other people. So if someone who's careful, you'll notice they say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. They pause after the word lechem before min ha'aretz. Now if a person does say it very fast, they definitely do not need to repeat the bracha, but it is something that a person should be careful about. Actually, some Sfarim write, the Yesod V'Shorash Avoda, who lived in Vilna in the times of the Vilna Gaon, he says that the reason why Mashiach is not here is because people are not careful in how they pronounce the words by davening, as they think that they're davening correctly, but they're really just slurring the words, and also that they connect two words together and they say it very fast. So a person needs to be careful when splitting up the words, not just by Kriya Shema, but also throughout the rest of the day. So Moda Ani has that. Moda Ani has that. Because it says, you say, Melech Chai V'Kayim. So Melech, now even though over here it's two different letters, Melech ends in a Chaf, and it starts with the chai starts with a ches chai, but be that as it may, it's still pronounced the same way. So a person, it's a little bit of a wake up call, and you know you're saying it, you're half sleeping as you say modani, because we learned last time that you should say modani even when you're still in bed, even before you sit up. You're allowed to say modani before Negavasser, before you wash your hands in the morning, but it's a little bit of a wake-up call, and it's a wake-up call anytime. It's a wake-up call in the middle of davening, that unfortunately a lot of people need a wake-up call in the middle of davening, in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, a little bit of a bracha. So that's something that, you know, a person needs to be careful of by Moda Ani. Again, anytime you make a bracha or daven, something like that, and you're not careful about it, definitely you do not need to repeat the bracha or repeat the davening, but it is something that the Shulchan Aruch says applies, not just by Kriya Shema, that the Gemara says, but so too by other brachos. So that's something just to keep in mind when we say modani. So we discussed last time that it's important because of the ruach ra, because of that spiritual tumah, that impurity that's on our hands, it's important to go wash negavasser right away. We said clearly you don't have to jump out of bed like a madman, but you do should, when you've decided that's it, it's time to get up, before you get dressed, you should go immediately to the bathroom. As I'm sure you know, there are people that are careful to have a cup with water right next to their bed. I'm not going to tell you to do that. You go straight to the bathroom sink and you wash negavasser. So he said the order, and it's just a matter of getting the order used to it, is we said first you should wash three times. You should wash the negavasser. Then you use the bathroom. Then you, of course, wash your hands again because you just used the bathroom. That time does not need to be with a cup. Then you step out of the bathroom and you say the bracha valentil sedayim, and you say asha yatzar, and as we spoke about last time, preferably elokai neshama as well, if you know it by heart, or you can have a sitter over there. And we discussed the reasons for Netilas Dayim. We said the only time you make a bracha is when you slept at night, and because you have all the reasons, you have both reasons, reason number one, reason number two, the Rosh and the Rashba. If you take a nap, let's say Shabbos afternoon, so the halacha is that if you slept, let's say a half hour, if you slept on a Shabbos afternoon, when you wake up, you should wash negavas, you should wash your hands, but we do not make a bracha. When you sleep in the afternoon, you do not make a bracha, and that's because you don't have both reasons, because the Rashba's reason was when you wake up in the morning, you're a new creation to serve Hashem, so if you slept in the afternoon, you don't have that reason. So therefore, we would not make a bracha, but when you wake up in the afternoon, you still should wash your hands after a nap. Just a couple other halachas. I'm sure you all know, I'm sure some of you know that we preferably should not touch food before you wash negavaser. Now, if you go straight to the bathroom to wash negavaser, it's not such a big deal. When exactly are you going to be touching food? But there definitely are instances where it could be applicable. It could be nogea. First of all, you got to get a bottle for the baby. So there are those that say that if you're not touching the actual food or drink, then it's not a problem. So if you take the container of milk and you pour it into the bottle, so you're not touching the actual milk, so then, you know, that if your baby's screaming and you don't want him to wake up the other kids in the house, so you're allowed to go get the milk before you wash negavaser. Especially, hopefully, you may still want to go back to sleep, so then there's no obligation yet for negavaser. You're still trying to go back to sleep. It's still, let's say, 6 o'clock. But even if you know you're up for the day, definitely it'll be better to immediately go wash your hands. But if you can't, then, you know, if you're not touching the actual milk. Also, if you're on an airplane, so a lot of times, and you slept, and we said that if you sleep on an airplane, you need to wash negavaser. We spoke about that you say Krishma and Hamapil. So you can't get to wash negavaser just yet. So when you need to, and you want, and you need to touch food, even if you're not going to eat it yet, but you still need to touch it. So preferably you should wash your hands before you touch the food. In certain situations where you don't have water in front of you, so what you could do is you wipe your hands on wood. We discussed that a couple weeks ago. Someone mentioned that if you don't have water, you could wipe your hands on wood or on your clothes. If a person does not have water, that could be done if, let's say, a person doesn't have any water at all, or if they need to touch food beforehand, so they wipe their hands on wood. That is also considered something that cleans your hands. Preferably children. I think we said also last time that children should also preferably wash their hands negavaser, besides for the inyan of chinuch that you need to teach them, but also they're going to be touching food, and at least from the age of 3, some are careful even under the age of 3, but at least from the age of 3, the children should be told to wash hands, especially before they eat breakfast, before they touch food, to, you know, they should wash their hands. Another halacha is you shouldn't touch, the Shulchan Aruch tells us you should not touch any openings in your body before you wash negavaser. Meaning, let's say you're in bed, and we said you should go right away to wash your hands, but let's say you didn't get up out of bed just yet, you're still going to wait another half a minute, another minute, another couple minutes before you go to the sink to wash the negavaser in the morning, but you shouldn't touch any openings in your body, and that means the mouth, the nose, the ears, and the eyes. And the reason is because that could, the Gemara tells us and the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that could have a harmful effect on those parts of the body. Now, what does that mean, that it has a harmful effect on any openings of the body? So some understand that it means a spiritual harm, which in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit, we believe that spiritual harms that the Gemara tells us about is just as real as physical harms, maybe even more real than physical harms. So even though we don't say, oh, you know, my ears seem fine, even though I scratched inside my ear, but it could be that, you know, there's something spiritual over there, and that's something that person needs to be careful of. The Mishnah Berurah says that there are those that feel that it's not only inside the openings, but even on the outside of the openings, a person should be careful. That is, the Mishnah Berurah says a person preferably should be careful as well. But what you're allowed to do, hold on one second, if you have an itch on your eyes, or on your nose, or your ears, or your mouth, what you're allowed to do is touch it through a blanket, or your pajamas, or a pillowcase. That, for sure, you are allowed to do. So that's what I do a lot of times. If before I get a chance to get out of bed, I have an itch in my ear, let's say for whatever reason you need to scratch inside, you want to touch it, so for sure inside and even on the outside, you could definitely do it through the pajamas or through some type of cloth, then you're not touching it, that's a preference.
What about eye drops?
Eye drops, so you're not touching your eye, Well, you have to go. Okay, so you're touching the outside, and we say, you know, perhaps that's considered the outside. It's really underneath the eye. I would say preferably to, if you're going to be doing eye drops, preferably to go, you know, wash Negev Asar first. I'll say preferably to wash Negev Asar first. But again, if you could open up like the bottom of your eye, like you're showing, through some type of cloth or a tissue that you have next to your bed, or, you know, the pillowcase, a blanket, or pajamas, then, you know, that's fine. Then that's totally okay. Okay.
And I, like, during the winter, I have to wear like gloves on my hands.
Oh, really? Okay.
So like, actually, I cream them, put on my little white gloves, and then like, do your hands still have the same din if they're covered?
So the answer is the following, which I didn't even give that. I have it written down, but I didn't give that example because I didn't know anybody who wears gloves at night.
It's only
but,
in the winter.
So okay. So the answer is the following. So we discussed last time there were two reasons why we wash Negev Asar in the morning. The Rosh, his reason was because we assume that when you sleep, your hands touch covered parts of your body. And the Rashba, reason number two, was that when you wake up in the morning, you're a new creation. Mm-hmm. So they say the big difference between the Rosh and the Rashba is somebody sleeps with gloves. Because according to the Rosh, see, you touch different parts of your body, but you were wearing gloves. So according to the Rosh, you would not need to wash your hands. Mm-hmm. Because your hands were covered with gloves the whole night. But according to the Rashba, you would need to. Because after all, you woke up in the morning, you're a new creation to serve Hashem. Mm-hmm. So in such a situation, you should wash Negev Asar in the morning without a bracha. Okay, it's important. Yeah. If you're gonna be washing your hands in the morning, you know, you would do that without a bracha. However, we said that if you're up the whole night, like we said, men that are up the whole night of Shavuos, right. So what the Mishnah Berurah says is they should specifically go ahead and use the bathroom, and then this way they know for sure they need to wash their hands. So then you can make a bracha. So
even
when you sleep with your glove, I'm sorry.
No, but even on a spiritual level, like the neshama leaves through the finger or something.
Okay.
So like even so.
Right, but as far as making a bracha, as far as making a blessing, it's only if you have both the Rosh and the Rashba. That, the most famous reason, I think there was a lady sitting over here last time, and I said, who knows the reason for Netilas Adayim? So right away she called out, oh, because there's a Ruach Ra. Mm-hmm. That's not the main reason. That's the most famous reason. By far, that's the most famous. Everyone knows, oh, it's Tama, you know, the Ruach Ra on your hands. But we don't make a bracha on such a, on washing for that. Because that's a reason based on the Zohar, and it's very important. But we paskin that we only make a bracha of Al Netilas Sadaim in the morning when you have the two main reasons of the Rishayim. And that is that you touched covered parts of your body and a new creation in the morning. The Ruach Ra is a great reason, but we don't make a bracha based on that. So if you would wear gloves, so it's important. Every time you go to sleep wearing gloves in the winter, you should specifically, so I said before, I said last time and tonight before, that you should wash Negev Asar and then use the bathroom. I would imagine what you should do probably is, go to the bathroom first and then wash Negev Asar, but with a cup. Right, because we said before that after you don't use a cup, but if this is your Negev Asar in the morning, so then you should wash. Then I would imagine that's what you should use the bath. If you on the nights that you wore the gloves, you should use the bathroom first, then wash Negev Asar with a cup, and then you could go ahead and make a bracha. By the way, you know what Negev Asar? I keep on using the word Negev Asar. That's what we call the washing hands in the morning. What does Negel mean? Negel in Yiddish means the nails. Like you said, like the tumah leaves through the nails. So that's where the word comes from, Negev Asar, because you wash the nails. Now you really wash the whole hand, but either because the tumah leaves the hands through the tumah leaves through the nails, perhaps, or you know that's just you know part of what we wash. You know that's where it comes from, but that's where the word Negev Asar comes from. Yeah.
Let's say you wake up; it's not yet daybreak, and you start your day. Is there any issue with that with washing?
You could wash your hands even before daybreak, as long as you are now up for the day and you slept a half hour. So then you wash Negev Asar with a bracha. If you wake up for the day before midnight, now midnight doesn't mean 12 o'clock. Midnight means chatzos, you know, like the time you have to eat afikoman by, like chatzos. So that's a different issue, perhaps, but that's not your standard case. Meaning if a person needs to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning because they have a flight to catch or they're going on a trip or whatever reason, or even in the winter nowadays, if a person, you know, could definitely wake up before daybreak. Many men wake up before daybreak. So as Negev Asar, that's not a problem. Once you're up for the day, you have your obligation. Yeah.
And if let's say you like drove through the night, then you never slept.
Right.
Then
so that
could you be like in your child? Could somebody else? Could you say amen to somebody else's bracha? Wait. So then
you're allowed to say amen before. If you're up the whole night, so that would depend. Like that would depend on the two reasons. Do you have an obligation to wash? According to the Rosh, you would not have an obligation to wash because since you were awake, we don't say you would touch the private parts of your body. But according to the Rashba, every morning you're in a new creation. That has nothing to do with sleeping, per se. So in such a situation, when you're up the whole night, so we said that you would wash without a bracha, but what you should do is specifically go to the bathroom, and this way you know for a fact you have to wash your hands, so then you'd be able to wash with a bracha. But you wouldn't, as far as making a bracha beforehand, let's say you know you want to eat, you're driving through the night and you want to continue drinking a coffee and think something like that. So once it comes daybreak and then now you have an obligation to wash, it could be, you know, you wouldn't be allowed to make a bracha until you wash. That could be. Even if you wouldn't, you know, even if you didn't go to the bathroom yet, you wouldn't have an obligation to wash with a bracha. Once you do have an obligation to wash, you're not allowed to make a bracha. So what I'll tell you to do is, like we said before, a couple of days before you walked in, like you wipe your hands on the table, on the wood, let's say driving in the car, on some of your clothes, that's considered, that cleans your hands, then you'd be allowed, you know, to make a bracha, make a blessing. Okay, so this we said. Some of the halachos are the same as netilas yadayim for washing with bread, which we discussed already. Just there is one difference as far as taking off rings and things like that. We spoke about all that by netilas yadayim. Just there is one difference, which I alluded to when we spoke about washing for bread, is that washing with a cup. So if you remember, we said by netilas yadayim that across the board, you could only wash netilas yadayim for bread with a cup. You must have a cup. There's other ways as far as dipping your hands into water, but in a standard case, when you have water, but just I'm on an airplane, I'm somewhere where I don't have a cup, so we said for netilas yadayim for bread, you must have a cup. Where it comes to netilas yadayim, washing your hands in the morning, so preferably you should use a cup. Again, preferably you should use a cup, but there are situations where if you don't have a cup, so then you are allowed to wash negavasser in the morning without a cup, meaning let's say you're on the airplane and you don't have a cup, you're not getting a meal and no stewardess is able to give you a cup, or if you're on the road and you come to a rest area, service area, it's usually easy to get a cup. But if you're at a rest area where there's just a bathroom and a sink and you don't have a cup whatsoever and you slept in the car and now you're trading drivers with your husband or something. So if you don't have a cup, the halacha is what you do is the following. Over there, over here in the morning, you would open up the faucet 6 times. You know, once for the right hand, once for the left hand. Once for the right hand, once for the left hand, meaning open, close, open, close, open, close. Meaning because you need to have the water coming, what we call mikoach gavra, from the power, from the strength of a person. So that's considered as if it came from the strength of the person because I opened up the faucet again. So I need to open it up 6 separate times. I can't keep it open once because then number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 didn't come, we say, from right away from the koach gavra. But that we would not rely on for washing for bread. But for in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, so there, if a person doesn't have a cup, then they open up and close the faucets 6 separate times. And again, you put the right hand, the left hand, the right hand, the left hand, the same as if you would do with a cup. Sorry?
Even if you're left-handed?
Yeah, if you're left-handed, we said that's the same. You do the right-handed first, even if a person is a left-handed. This is as far as showing chashivus to the right side first, and that's the same by washing for bread, and that's the same as far as putting on your clothes in the morning. And we always, when you put on your clothes, you have a shirt, and you put one sleeve in and then another sleeve in, so preferably you should put the right sleeve in first. It's just a matter of getting used to it. Again, if you put by mistake the left hand first, you don't have to take off the shirt and put it on again. But preferably you put on the right hand, you put in the right sleeve first. If you're wearing a pair of pants, or if you're pajamas, you have pants, or for men who wear pants, so you put the right foot in the right leg in first. Also by putting on shoes, preferably you should put the right shoe on first, and then you put on the left shoe. As far as tying shoes, right, a lot of people want to know, for women, the reason why men, it's based on tefillin. One pshat in the Mishnah Berurah is that it's based on tefillin, as far as the tying. So for there, it makes a difference lefty and righty. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says for women, they don't have to tie their shoes based on anything special. They should just put on the right, and you could tie the right, and then tie the left, put on the left and tie the left. Yeah.
With children, should you like teach them that they should do it this way? Like they should... Like if you have
any child, that any girl would be the same as a woman. But as far as a boy, anyone that's less than bar mitzvah, I could understand that you don't need to teach them, because it's all based on the tefillin. Meaning a righty puts his tefillin on his left hand. So therefore, they're supposed to tie the left shoe first, because the tying is connected to the tying, because it's based on Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu didn't take from Sodom, the king of Sodom, when they beat the war, and he got the Melech Sodom wanted to give, the king of Sodom wanted to give him a lot of all the loot and the booty. So then, so Avram said, "I'm not going to take even a shoelace." Right? And remember the pasuk, "I'm not going to take even a shoelace." And the Gemara says that in that schus, that he's not even going to take a shoelace, which ties, so we got the mitzvah of tefillin. So there's a connection between shoelaces and tefillin. So as far as a child who didn't put on tefillin yet, quite possibly you do not need to train him in doing that yet. I guess, you know, couldn't hurt, perhaps. But
it doesn't matter. If you put your sneakers on, it doesn't matter how you tie them. You should just put the right one on first. You don't worry about
it. If you're not going to be tying something, like a slip-on shoe?
No, a sneaker, like a woman for a sneaker.
Okay.
So she just puts the right one on first and then the left one.
Right.
You can tie the right one and put the right
right.
one
on. Right. Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch says that a woman doesn't have to be concerned as far as the tying, because that's only based on tefillin, and women do not wear tefillin. They're not obligated in tefillin, and they don't volunteer to put on tefillin, which we discussed, I think. So, you know, so that's Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch. Yeah, those that differ, but you know, he's definitely someone you can rely on.
What's the meaning behind the type of coast that you use? I heard it once that you can't use anything like that. It has to be a
right. So I think we touched upon that by Netil Sadaim. I don't remember. Maybe we didn't. Any water, any cup that you use for washing for bread, and preferably also for washing negavas in the morning, the water needs to flow out easily. It has to flow out very quickly, like a regular cup. A water that a bottle that has a thin spout, let's say like a water bottle or a soda bottle, something that has a thinner spout, so preferably that should not be used because it doesn't flow out as quickly. So
it's
if you
more like a measuring cup, like where you actually have like a different shape, or it's not a complete circle. As opposed to,
like, it has a little,
right.
like, a dip in it.
Like, that you definitely can't use.
Like at the end? Or are you saying, like,
yeah,
a pitcher
yeah,
that
yeah.
you water the flowers with? Like,
yeah.
something like that? That...
No, not like a pitcher. Like a tiny, like a, I don't know, like when you... Like a measuring cup.
A measuring cup that has like a spout at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
I think that should
that
be okay. I think
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You know, I heard that was you need it to be
perfectly
know.
A circle. Okay, I have to check into that again.
I'm not,
no.
I don't use anything like that.
Okay.
I'm wondering why does it have to be a complete.
There's halachos as far as how exactly the kli is allowed to be. If there's holes, it's not allowed to be broken. It's not allowed to be cracked.
Okay.
And as far as the thin spout, it could be it's connected to that. I would have to check again. It could be it doesn't. We say that it doesn't flow out as freely like that because it comes to point. That I know by a water bottle, soda bottle that comes thin at the end, so that doesn't flow as easily. So preferably if you have a cup and a bottle, you should preferably use the cup. Besides that, it's plastic, and we said preferably you shouldn't use plastic. But let's say we said preferably you should not use a disposable cup. But we said very clearly that if you're on the road and or that's all you have, then definitely you're allowed to use that. Definitely you're allowed to use a plastic cup. And we said basically it came out the same as washing and tilas adayim for bread in the bathroom, where the place can say that preferably you should not wash and tilas adayim in the bathroom. But if you have no other place, you're on an airplane, you're at a service area, a rest area, you're on an airplane or at the gate of an airport, and the only place to wash is in a bathroom, so definitely you are allowed to. But you're in the kitchen and you have tons of guests and you want to just get things moving, so just stop to go in the bathroom. That preferably should not be done. It's the same with the disposable cup, with the plastic cup. When we say plastic, I mean disposable, not like the hard plastic. That's not disposable. But preferably you should not use it. But if you have nothing else, you could use it. If you have a plastic cup next to you in the sink, but, you know, you just go to the cabinet and you take out a regular cup, you know, definitely you should do that. But as far as the spout, you know, besides that is plastic. But let's say you're on a trip, you're on a hike, and that's all you have is a plastic bottle. So you could use that. As far as the spout at the end, I would imagine that if there's any reason why you would not use it, it would be the same type of idea. But definitely, if you have nothing else, you're allowed to use that. Definitely, if you have nothing else, you'd be allowed to use that. Okay. As far as Shabbos morning, most of these halachas we were like going through Shabbos. Most of the halachas we said as far as Krishma and Netil Sadaim and Negavas in the morning really had nothing to do specifically with Shabbos per se, but it's just important halachas that are important to know. So now when you wake up in the morning, you wake up bright and early, Shabbos morning. Of course, our kids never let us sleep late anyway, so we wake up early Shabbos morning, and we know that we're not going to be making Kiddush. And our husbands are not going to be coming home from shul till who knows what time, 11 o'clock, 11:30. The suda is not going to be till quite possibly 11, 12 o'clock. So I'm not, and we know, right, we make Kiddush, we know the halacha is you're not supposed to eat before Kiddush. So what is the halacha as far as eating before we make Kiddush, right? The Kiddush is not going to be till much later. Where, when, and how does the obligation of Kiddush, Shabbos morning, kick in? And what's the halachas in general with eating before I daven, eating after I daven, before Kiddush, just to go through some of the basic halachas. So, firstly, let's discuss the halacha of eating before davening. Okay? The halacha is the following. The Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch say, that a person is not allowed to eat before they daven. not just Shabbos, but during the week also, a person is not allowed to eat before they daven. Now, the halacha is that this applies by women just as much as men. The reason why this is the halacha, the Gemara explains itself. The Gemara says, why is this the reason? Because the Gemara says it's considered gaiva, it's considered haughtiness, that here I have a ruchnius need, a spiritual need that I'm supposed to daven to Hashem, and on the other hand, I have a gashmius need, I have a physical need that I want to eat, I want to take care of myself. Maybe I'm hungry, or just for the pleasure, but for whatever reason I want to eat or drink. So the halacha is that it's considered haughtiness to take care of your own personal needs before you take of your care of your ruchnius needs, before you take care of your spiritual needs of dam. So that is clear in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat before you daven. However, the halacha is that we only are not allowed to eat or drink foods or drinks that are considered gaiva, that are considered haughty, it's considered showing off, you know, it's considered improper to do that before you daven. Water is not a problem. Water is not a problem because if I just drink water before I daven, of course I need to make a bracha after washing tilis daim, etc. But if I drink water before I daven, so then that's not a problem because that's not considered gaiva. Water is considered a very, very simple drink, and therefore water you're allowed to drink. Paiskim tell us that coffee and tea, many Paiskim say that coffee and tea is included in that because coffee and tea really is water. That's basically what it is, and it's just a flavor. Many Paiskim say you're even allowed to add sugar and milk because that's just normal to have in your coffee. You put in some milk and some sugar. That's also, many Paiskim say that's not a problem. So a person, this applies for men and women, and a lot of people just, you know, of course, they have their coffee before they go to chakras, a lot of men, and there is definitely what to rely on, that because that's basically considered water, and plenty of places can say that you even nowadays, you're allowed to even add milk and sugar. So now, for men, they need to daven every day, and we need to discuss just the basics as far as what are women obligated to daven every day, if they're obligated to daven every day. But men, for sure, are obligated to daven every day, so that's the halacha quite clearly. They are not allowed to eat anything before they daven, and as far as drinking, so they're allowed to drink water and coffee and tea, perhaps seltzer, because that's also basically water. Soda, not so positive, that's also sort of water, but other flavoring, fine. There is one halacha, which a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people take this too far, and the halacha is, and this is for sure the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, that if a person really feels that they're not going to be able to concentrate on their davening unless they eat or drink, and it's really going to bother their davening because they're so weak and they can't concentrate unless they have something to eat, so then they're allowed to eat. Then they're allowed to eat, not only drink, they're allowed to even eat. If they feel that, listen, there's no way I'd be able to have proper kavana during davening, during my Shemona Esrei, I'm just going to be so weak, so I need to have a bagel or a cookie, a Danish, a rugelach or something, and a coffee and a this and a that, so then the halacha is clearly that you are allowed to do that because that's not considered gaiva because I need to do this for my ruchnius. I need to do this so I'll be able to daven properly. However, there are a lot of people that take this a little bit too far and they say, so you're allowed to. The halacha is very clearly that if it's really honestly going to affect your davening, so then you are allowed to eat. If it's not going to and it's just doing it because, hey, I'm hungry, so then, you know, that should not be done. So now, as far as women are concerned, okay, first let's discuss for weekday and then we'll get back to Shabbos. As far as women, are women obligated to daven? On a standard day, are women obligated to daven or not? So there's a great discussion amongst the Rishayim and the Achrayim. Where does the obligation to daven in general, where does that come from? And is that an obligation mid-a-raisa, on a Torah level? Does it say somewhere in the Torah that we need to daven? Is it an obligation on a derabbanan level? Are the rabbanans, are they the ones who made up that we're supposed to daven every day? So it's a great discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban, which I make my students know, my 11th grade students. I'm going to hold off on some of that because I think it's going to get too tedious for what we need to know. But let's just say that the Mishnah Berurah, who is generally how we paskin like, it's usually how we paskin like the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah paskins that, like the Ramban, that a woman is also obligated to daven. Okay? A woman is also obligated to daven every day. Now we need to define, what does that mean to daven? How much is a woman obligated to daven? But the Mishnah Berurah does say that a woman, a girl, over bas mitzvah, is obligated to daven every day. That means shachris, and that means mincha. Ma'ariv is something much more lenient, although I give a shiur Tuesday mornings also, and a lady came over to me after the shiur and said, we were discussing the halachas of davening and things like that. She said, yeah, you have to make sure to tell all the women, they have to daven ma'ariv. You have to daven ma'ariv also. So, okay, I said, that's a little bit far. A lot of places can say that women have what to rely on, that they don't need to daven ma'ariv. Even for men, it was only considered optional that they need to daven ma'ariv. However, over the generations, men have accepted upon themselves that it is an obligation, it's not optional. But for women, they didn't accept upon themselves to daven ma'ariv. But shachris and mincha, women should be davening. However, and this is the biggie that everyone knows, that everyone relies on, that we say that if you have a married woman who is taking care of children, or she has a job, and it's very hectic in the house, and she's not able to daven, so perhaps we are able to rely not on the Ramban that the Mishnah Berurah Paskens like, but we could rely on the Rambam. And the Rambam's opinion is, according to some people, depends how you learn the Rambam, but the Rambam's opinion is that a woman does not need to daven every day the full Shmona Esrei. However, she just needs to daven just a few short prayers in the morning, which is a Shvach, which means a praise to Hashem, and a Bakasha, a request from Hashem, and a Hoidah, a thanks to Hashem. That is included basically in the Birchas HaShachar. You open up the Siddur, you start from the beginning, and just, all those, the Lasik with the Vesora, Shabar Chabanum, and then you have a noisan sechvi vina, shleisani goy, shleisani ovid, shasani kitzoyne, if you say, and all those lists, that basically fulfills your obligation on a de'iraisa level. So many women rely on that. That, I think there's enough time for everybody to do. Even if you're getting off your kids in the morning, after you rush the kids out, it should not take more than a minute or two. You shouldn't say it in 10 seconds, but a minute or two to say that amount, I think there's enough to do. Again, the Mishnah Berurah Paskens that you should be davening the whole Shemona Esrei. But definitely plenty of places can say, and that's what I tell my students, because my students, there's no reason why they shouldn't be davening the whole Shemona Esrei. Of course, they do it in school. School starts at 8:45 and they come and they daven all together. But, there's plenty of days that there's no school. Shabbos and Sunday, and they just had midwinter vacation, so there's plenty of days. A girl that's not married should be davening full Shemona Esrei. That's what the Mishnah Berurah Paskens. Shachris and Mincha. Ma'ariv, I'm not going to tell them to do. My sister is makpat to daven ma'ariv every night. She davens 3 tefillos a day. She's a big tzaddikas. But at least shachris and mincha. But for a married woman, many places can say we could rely on the other opinion, and they don't need to daven the whole Shemona Esrei. But at least the Birchas HaShachar, which includes the praise of Hashem and a short request and a thanks to Hashem, that women should be able to find the time to do.
These girls eat breakfast first before they go to school.
Oh, excellent question. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that if the school or the seminary has it that they're going to daven at 8:45 and they don't give time for breakfast, which in the Beis Yaakov every day they don't give time for breakfast, they have 9:15 class starts. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, which is what all the schools rely on, is that since there is an advantage to daven all the girls together, because it's more conducive to have kavana like that, because they're all davening together, and it guarantees the fact that they'll daven, so therefore we say that they are allowed to eat before davening. So all the school girls, all the girls in school, they are told to eat they're allowed to eat, they should eat breakfast before davening, but the place can say that before they eat breakfast, and this is what I tell my students, they should say Birchas HaTorah. They should say the brachos, the Birchas HaShachar in the morning, and like we said before, that is the ikar, that is the main obligation of a woman. Then they could go ahead and eat breakfast, and then they go to school, and then they say the whole Psuka Dezimra and the Shmona Esrei. Okay, so that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, and that's what all the schools rely on. But I tell my students, and I imagine the other Rebbeim tell them this as well, that they should eat breakfast at home before they daven. But before they eat breakfast, they should at least say the Birchos HaShachar, the blessings in the morning, which is what I was just telling you before, to at least do that first, then they could eat breakfast. And then when they get to school, they'll do the other obligation based on the Ramban that the Mishnah Berurah Paskens like, to do the whole Psuka Dezimra.
So what if a mother gets up at 6:30 with her kids, and she's not going to be able to daven until 8:30, 9 o'clock?
Right.
So she shouldn't be eating until...
So that's a very good question. So what I would say to do in such a case is find 60 seconds or 120 seconds and just say the Birchas HaShachar. And then, because that fulfills your obligation, at least according to the Rambam, then if you need to eat, you could definitely eat. And now's the time to eat breakfast. Then once your kids are off to school, then you find the time to daven Psuka Dezimra and the rest of Krishma and Shemona Esrei. Then that's what you should do. Because if it's not going to come for another couple hours later, I'm not going to tell you.
It doesn't take 60 seconds.
The Birchas HaShachar, okay, that's fantastic. You're right. It should take more than that, but definitely, the slower the better. But that preferably, should be able to do. If you can't do the whole Birchas HaShachar, at least do the first half. Those that say that there's included in already the first half of the Lasuk B'Devisor and Shabar Chabanu and V'Harevna and Yivaracha and Elu Dvarim, that already includes each of the praise and the Bakasha and the Hoda. That at least, and then you could eat. If a woman is not going to be able to have time to daven anything, so that's it. The second she gets her kids off to school, she has to run out to work, and there's no way, and she's driving, so she's not going to be able to daven on the train or on the bus or anything like that, so there's no way she's going to be able to daven. So she's not going to daven today. So of course, as you were alluding to, the halacha isn't that, oh, she's not allowed to eat the whole day. Once you have done your obligation for davening for today, so then you are allowed to eat. It's only since I didn't daven yet, and now I'm going to daven, and I'm going to daven soon, so then the halach is that you shouldn't be eating before then. But if you're not going to daven, or like you said, you're not going to be able to daven until much later, and at that point you'll be able to daven with more kavana once the kids are out of the house, and once everything has quieted down, or you're finished taking care of what you're taking care of, so then would kick in the halacha that you shouldn't be eating. But until then, we would say that you daven the main Birchas HaShachar for a few minutes, and then you'd be allowed to eat. So that's as far as during the standard day in the week. You have a question? No?
No, you just answered.
Okay. That's as far as during the standard week. Shabbos, just once we're on Shabbos, so just before we get to Halachas of Kiddush, and if you need to eat before Shachris on Shabbos, Musaf, the Halachas of Musaf, is a woman obligated to daven Musaf? So again, we said the regular Shachris, the Mishnah Berurah says really they should, at least according to the Ramban. Musaf on Shabbos Yontif is a great discussion. There are those that say that they do not need to. The reason why we pass in that women need to daven during the week is because it's what we call rachami. It's davening for requests from Hashem, that women are obligated with davening for mercy from Hashem and certain requests that we have and bakashos. So that women, the Ramban feels, the women are obligated in that just as much as men. So therefore, women should be, that's the reason behind it, why women are obligated to daven during the week. By Musaf, if you're familiar with the Musaf prayers, the Musaf davening, the Shmoneh Esrei Musaf on Shabbos or on Yontif, that really doesn't have any bakashos, that doesn't have any requests, it's nothing really to do with mercy, it's just based on in the times of the Beis HaMikdash when we brought karbanos. So on every Shabbos and every Yontif and Rosh Chodesh, there was a special karban, special sacrifice brought for that special day of Shabbos or Yom Tov. So now we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore, so we have a Shemona Esrei corresponding to that. So that, quite possibly, the women are not obligated in, because that's not rachami, that's not asking for mercy or a special request. So perhaps women are not obligated in that, and if you're able to go to shul, many women are not able to go to the shul, those who have kids at home are not able to go to shul, so there are those that say that you're not obligated to daven Musaf. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that it is more of a rachami, it is more of a request and asking for forgiveness and things like that. So on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, for sure, it's more of a reason that women should be davening Musaf as well, whether it's in shul or whether it's at home. But on standard Shabbos and Yontif, it's been accepted to try harder to at least do that. But again, there are those that say that you are exempt because it comes at a set time. It's mitzvah sasehishas man groma. That's what the Nei Yehuda says. So definitely, if you can, it will be good. Okay. So what we need to discuss, just in the last 3 minutes, if not, we will be able to continue for next time. If we don't capture it all in 3 minutes, is on Shabbos morning. So let's say it comes Shabbos morning. So I have this. Now I know this halacha that I'm not allowed to eat before I daven. But I know that once I daven, when it's not like this, when does the obligation of Kiddush kick in on Shabbos morning? So the halacha is that there's no obligation of Kiddush before I daven Shachris every Shabbos morning, because the obligation of Kiddush can only come when I'm allowed to eat, when I'm allowed to drink the grape juice or the wine, and then I need to eat. So before Shachris, you're not allowed to eat, we said. So there can't be an obligation of Kiddush before Shachris. Once I daven my Shachris, So then comes the obligation of Kiddush. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, even water. Even water you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. So it comes even more stringent after you daven Shacharis. So now we have this problem. Meaning, let's say I'm going to daven. Okay, Shabbos morning, my kids are either in shul or they're just playing. I'll be able to daven. So the Kiddush is not going to be until 11 o'clock. So what should I do? I want to be able to eat before 11 o'clock. So I can't eat before davening, but if I start to daven, so then I'm not going to be able to eat unless I make Kiddush. So the halacha is the following. If I want to eat before davening, let's say it's like this. If I'm not going to daven, let's say on Shabbos I'm not able to daven. So he said, if you're not going to daven, so then we don't say you're not allowed to eat at all the whole day because I'm not going to daven. So over there the halacha is that if I'm not going to daven today, so then right away my Kiddush obligation kicks in. Okay? So if a person, if that's your standard policy throughout Shabbos, that you're not able to daven on Shabbos either, or let's say this specific Shabbos, you know that there's, you know, the kids are home and you have guests and you're not going to be able to daven this Shabbos morning, so then your obligation of Kiddush comes right now because you're not going to daven. So you have an obligation of Kiddush. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat anything, even water, before you make Kiddush. So the best thing to do is either to wait till 11 o'clock or to make Kiddush. You eat grape juice. You don't need to drink the entire cup of wine or grape juice. You could drink what we call a malo lugma, which is, you know, a few ounces, a couple ounces. It's not a big deal. You make Kiddush and then you'll be able to have mizonos and you'll be able to eat. If you are going to daven, so then once you daven, the halacha is that you need to make Kiddush if you want to eat, clearly, because once you daven, again, the obligation of Kiddush comes in. If, for whatever reason, you're going to eat before you daven, you are going to eat because you're not able to concentrate, so then there's a big discussion that if you are able to eat, should you make Kiddush before you daven? The Chofetz Chaim says for sure yes. Rav Moshe says that also he says, you know, preferably he says yes, but definitely that's just what we're going to come out is, halachas are complicated, what's going to come out is that when you wake up in the morning and you're not going to be able to eat till 11, 12 o'clock, quite possibly that you should not be eating without Kiddush, because either you'll be eating before davening, or if it's after davening, you'll be eating totally without Kiddush. So preferably what you should do is, it's good to have grape juice in the house if you're not able to make on wine. Let's say the husbands like to make on wine specifically. If you're not able to do that, it's good to have grape juice in the house. It's good to make Kiddush, and this way you will be able to eat. Even whether it's before you daven or whether it's after you daven, definitely there's what to rely on, that you're allowed to make Kiddush before. And so that's, you know, basically how the halachas come out as far as eating Shabbos morning. So again, you want to wait, it's going to be till 11 o'clock and you need to eat before, preferably you should be making Kiddush. The best will be to daven first and then to make Kiddush, because preferably you should not be eating before davening. The best will be to daven first. Like we said before, if you're not able to daven the whole Shemoneh Esrei, at least daven at the beginning, the Berachas HaTorah, it takes a few minutes or whatever it is, Berachas HaShachar, and you daven that. Then you're able to make your own personal Kiddush. Not a big deal. You could read it from a sitter. Shabbos morning, really, only the Kiddush is the Hagofen. That's really only the main part of Kiddush Shabbos morning. Next class, Mr. Shem, will discuss a few halachas of Kiddush Shabbos morning. It's all basically the Hagofen. And then you'll be able to eat, you know, mizonos and whatever you need to eat. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if you can see. One, can you say Berachas HaShachar, eat and then say Kiddush? Or you must say Kiddush first and then eat?
Yeah, once you say Berachas HaShachar, you should say Kiddush first and then eat. Probably you should say Kiddush first.
So my second question is, I heard that women who don't daven regularly shouldn't be making Kiddush for themselves. I don't know if that's true.
Women who don't daven regularly in general?
In general, should not make Kiddush for themselves.
Why is that?
I think it could be Sfardi halacha. I don't know, but that's what
it
I
could
think.
Be. It. I'm sorry.
Sfardi halacha.
Okay. Know. I'm not sure. They shouldn't be making Kiddush for themselves, even Shabbos morning. I'm not familiar.
If they don't daven regularly, then they shouldn't be making Kiddush for themselves.
I'm not sure. No, okay, so Mitzvah next week. I want to just touch up. Maybe I'll try and look around and see if anything about that halacha. But just a few other halachas as far as Kiddush in the morning, as far as mizonos, and what can we fulfill our obligation of Kiddush in the morning, and a few, just wrap up a few other halachas as far as that, and then hopefully we'll move on to Shalosh Shuddos and Avdalah and things like that. Okay.